Do you know that you're clairvoyant, that you are able to see psychic images? There's so many different ways to be clairvoyant. Sometimes we don't even know that we are psychic in regard to seeing images or pictures or getting visions, because there's different styles of clairvoyance. And I'm going to talk about some of those today and lead you through a guided meditation to better activate 4 different styles of being clairvoyant. And I'm also going to tell you about a benefit at the very end of our time together, in which you can receive a free book from me. Hi, I'm Cindy Dale. I have been in the intuitive and energy healing business for close to 30 years. And I'm one of those really fortunate individuals who was really intuitive or psychic as a child. Nobody knew what to do with it when I was growing up, but fortunately, by the time I was around 19 or 20, I was able to experience training from different healers, intuitives, shamans, and gurus around the world. I was able to travel to Peru and Costa Rica, to Morocco and Venezuela, and learn from people from cultures that have always believed in this extra special sensory capability, which is clairvoyant. And one of the reasons that I know that you're clairvoyant is that in developing my own ability to perceive images, which I had as a kid, but shut down in my teen years, I know that we can all learn how to use that kind of spidey sense for any number of purposes. Clairvoyance or clear seeing with psychic or subtle energy can be used to heal, to get insights and know what spiritual guidance wants to let us know, to be able to make clear decisions, to perhaps get a glimpse into possible futures, which again can help you steer who you are and what you're doing in the here and now. You can use clairvoyance to actually transform trauma for yourself and others and turn those places of stuckness into springs of power to bring yourself forward. You can just have fun with clairvoyance, getting dreams at night, or even through your daydreams, getting viewpoints into other worlds and other realms, and into knowing what we're all supposed to be really allowing ourselves to know, which is that we're loved, we're beloveds in the universe, that we're always watched and we're always cared about by whatever it is you want to call presence, oneness, the highest form of guidance, goodness, God, Allah, whatever your term is. It could even be your own inner sage. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about 4 different types of clairvoyance so you can get acquainted with them, even hint at a few other types so you can start to manifest those inner desires in your world and see yourself more clearly, kind of the way that what I would say God sees you. Because once we really know who we are and our own beauty, our own strength, our own aptitude for greatness, guess what? The world responds to us differently. After I discuss some of these different styles and ways of being clairvoyant, I'm also going to lead you through a 10 to 15 minute guided meditation, as I shared already, to help you activate and learn how to better direct your clairvoyance. Ready for the fun? Let me first talk about clairvoyance or clear seeing. It's one of those capabilities, those extraordinary, extra sensory gifts that have been known across time for thousands and thousands of years. People traditionally in cultures far earlier than our own have a lot of different words for people who use that clairvoyance, that inner sense, that ability to gaze at, to receive or direct energy in a visual type of way. Diviners, oracles, seers, psychics, supernaturally gifted people, shamans, healers. It's one of 3 primary extraordinary senses. And there's many ways to do all of these different senses. We're going to explore actually all 3 as we move forward together. So clairvoyance is one that is probably most well known. And as I've shared, it's that ability to perceive images actually inside of your mind or through the environment, through natures that hold messages that are psychic and hold information or can direct information or energy. I'll define energy in a couple minutes. First, I want you to be aware of the three sisters Claire, of which clairvoyance is one. There is also clairaudience. Most of us know, you know, kind of that there's channelers, mediums, people who talk to the dead. Well, clairaudience is that second major capability. And we too have access to this way of knowing, way of being, way of gathering data and dispersing it. It's the clear hearing sense or sense of, you know, kind of getting data and sharing it. There's many different ways to do clairaudience, to hear voices, sounds, whether that be inside of us or from invisible beings in our dreams, or even on the radio, when the radio just kind of turns itself on and all of a sudden you're going, that's a message for me. Or you're overhearing a conversation and you're not supposed to be, but you are anyway. And what those two or three or 10 people are talking about at the coffee shop or a restaurant or a bus stop is exactly what you needed to hear. So clairaudience is another one of those great basins of ways that we as human beings use our subtle faculties, our psychic faculties to gain knowing and to share it as well. And then finally, there's a huge subgroup of knowing, of interrelating with this world and other worlds called clairempathy. It really could also be called clairkinesthetic. It's clair sensing. And there's a lot of subdivisions within clairempathy. You may sense what's happening in other people or beings, the external world, or yourself through physicality. You feel a pain in your body or through emotionality. We do this all the time. We know what people are feeling and what they're going through. Maybe we relate mainly to making decisions that are in our own highest interest based on our own feelings. There's a form of clairempathy that's about knowing, getting that gut sense, or relating, just kind of tuning into what's really happening with others and what their relational or love or healing needs are. There's spiritual empathy, where we have a sense of higher knowing, where we're just conscious of what's right and wrong in the bigger concept of our lives, of the community, and of this world. There's so many ways of performing clairempathy, and they can often be really overwhelming because we don't really know what's Memorex or what's, you know, present or what's our bodily awareness or feeling or what's somebody else's. And so no matter how we're interacting in a communicative kind of way, clairvoyance is really useful because it's like they say, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words and maybe 10,000 sensations. These three clairs are all energetic capabilities we're born with. Our body is able to perform them all using our regular five senses, right? Or tuning in through the subtleties of who we are and this world. So it's really important to understand what energy is to really get a sense of why you can do clairvoyance and or access the other two different types of clairs. We are all energetic beings. We're all made out of energy. Everything's made out of energy, seen or unseen. Einstein said that forever. Science keeps proving it over and over and over again. Energy is just simply being information that moves. So it's the information in a coffee cup that's telling it to be Java. You change that information, maybe it's quantum or really fast, or maybe it's more Newtonian and, you know, more measurable with our traditional way of understanding the world, though that's not so traditional anymore. And that coffee can change. It can turn into tea. Conceivably, it could. You change the vibration or the movement of that coffee, and all of a sudden you have a cold cup of coffee rather than a hot cup of coffee, or just evaporates and goes up into the air. So absolutely everything is about energy. It's about information that's changing, that's mutable, maybe stays the same for a while, but it's always moving, it's always vibrating, it's always going in between 3D and other dimensions. We actually know that we exist on 11 different dimensions simultaneously. So you're an energetic being on 11 dimensions with lots and lots of information moving, probably in a very unknowing way, between you and parts of yourself, but also between you and the world. Some of the steering wheels for this information, this moving energy, are your chakras. Those are subtle energy systems. They're made out of subtle energy. And guess what? Subtle energy is 99.999% of all reality. That's regular science. Most of who you are is not physical, which is measurable, which is less than 1%. It's the invisible stuff. And so chakras are steering wheels in the body and around the body that each function on a band of frequencies that's bringing in subtle messages, subtle information, subtle energy that relates to that band of frequencies. And it's sending out data in that same way, out through what we typically call your energy field. You have a lot of energy fields. Every cell in your body creates electricity, magnetism, electromagnetic activity, again, 99.999% of it, which isn't going to show up on an x-ray machine. Every single part of who you are, you know yourself to be, like your cells, your organs, even your thoughts and feelings emanate sound as well. So you're this big sound and light machine, and your chakras are each busily operating like frequency computers to bring in information, to send out information, to decode information. So your brain, your heart, your what they call the enteric nervous system, your gut brain down here in your abdomen can figure out who you are, what's going on, what's happening, are you safe or not, should you respond or not, you know, how are you supposed to be or not. What are invisible spiritual guides letting you know? What's the world communicating? But most important, who are you? These different chakras, I work with 12. That's not the point of this teaching, but there's a lot of chakras, can each be organized within one of those three sisters or brothers or kins, Claire. Now, think about that. In our typical approach to being intuitive, to being psychic, to giving information silently to others or bringing it in and interpreting it, we don't really focus on the chakras. But when we do, we like to assign clairvoyance the role of being the job of what's typically called the third eye, the brow chakra, or the sixth chakra. That's right, it's in the brow. There's a front side, there's a back side, it links to your pituitary. So it's very much associated with your body and your mechanical visual functions. And that's the chakra most of us develop or interact with when we want to see something, when we get a nightly dream, when we go to bed at night and we want to receive a visitation from a deceased relative, or we want to get a dream that's going to help us process something psychologically, or give us an indication of the future, or help us make a decision, or when we just get an image willy-nilly, or we see a billboard and we go, I think that billboard has a message for me. Yes, a lot of times we use that center. That's one of the four main forms of clairvoyance we're going to be really talking about today. When we get information through our third eye, we are going to get colorful images. We're going to get pictures that have maybe just a single image within it psychically, a color or more than one color, shapes, some sort of visualization that is going to be recognizable by at least one color. Think about the last time you had a dream. It was probably multicolored, wasn't it? There was at least one color that stood out for you, if not many, many different colors. And colors have meaning. Different colors will tell you different things. We'll talk a little bit about that, but that is really certainly one way to be able to be clairvoyant, is to close your eyes, meditate, get an image, get a picture. Maybe it's going to be a video. Maybe it's, you know, going to swing in, swing out. Those types of images can themselves be rather complicated because they might be literal or very real. They're going to happen. They've happened. They are happening. You know, it's about your body. It's about, you know, something you need to do. They might also be metaphorical, like, oh, there's like a poem in here to unfold, to figure out what the deeper meaning is. Maybe they're both. Maybe you're going to see just a partial glimpse of an image. Maybe you're going to see the full unfolding of something you're creating or you're supposed to create or you need to know, or of a message given to you by a higher power or your own soul. Maybe you're going to pick up on a picture that's actually inside somebody else, that's their goal for their life, literal or metaphorical, partial or non-partial. Images can be about the past that did happen, for sure, this life, other lives. For you, a past that did happen for something or somebody else or for a culture. Or maybe something in the past that something or somebody, including yourself, wishes would have happened. Through your third eye, or really any of these psychic visual senses, you might be able to perceive concurrent realities. Something is happening at the other side of the world. Once I was working with a client, and I would do a lot of client work, a lot of healing work. I have 30 years of experiences in that. And I was looking at my client, and suddenly I saw what I assumed to be her son getting cut by a knife. And I said, my gosh, this is what I'm seeing. You'd better call home. And she did. And her son had actually just cut himself with the knife. She left right away, was able to call an ambulance and get assistance to him right away. In that concurrent modeling, we might also see parallel realities. A lot of physicists think that we're living not just in this time period, but maybe multiple others at the same time. I had a dream one night where I met myself in a different reality. I'm a white person. My other self was a Black person. At that time, I was really being prosecuted by a certain Christian church who were deciding that because I see chakras and I'm clairvoyant, I must be bad. I've got to be evil. And I really know the Bible really well. And there's a lot of what, you know, clairvoyants do that's right in the Bible all the way through. And I was really struggling. I didn't really know what to do with that and how to respond. This other me who appeared in the dream state was actually a Christian in a whole different realm, all right, being persecuted for being a Christian. She had 3 kids, I had 2. She got killed. And I felt her come into me while I'm sleeping, but this is a real experience and it happened in my body. And suddenly I was aware, you know, of how we have sides and we take sides and we hold sides. And it's really all about fear. And I was able to release my own fear of being so-called, you know, persecuted by people who just didn't understand me because they didn't understand themselves. In this case, because they didn't understand the Bible, and come to a deeper sense of, you know, kind of separation from what others' beliefs are. So I can deepen into my own understanding of who I was and am and what I have been called to become in this world. Really, for me, I, you know, understood it's really between me and my sense of God, not other sense of God and myself. So sometimes we can have these experiences in any form of clairvoyant, but they tend to come in the third eye, in that 6th chakra with pictures and, you know, kind of be very colorful and be interactive, you know, in these ways. We can also, through the third eye and other forms of clairvoyance, actually pick up on what's potential about the future. Now, the future is really tricky. I have a lot of clients come to me and they want me to tell them the future. You know, it's not that simple. Everything we do creates branches that can open up into potentially other futures. So there's very few of what I call destiny points, things that are absolutely going to happen. And those tend to have been, you know, something our soul agrees to with our guides, with whatever it is we call higher power. even some of those destiny points can sometimes be altered, and we might have many of them, you know, such as when are we going to die, that we get there and we can make a different decision and it changes, it opens up. Most of the time when we're reading into potential destinies or futures, we're really seeing probabilities, what's most likely going to happen, or we're reading many, many different possibilities, the bazillions of things that could happen, almost none of which are going to. So when people come to me and want to know what's in my future, you know, or they want, you know, me to guarantee something, that because they want to marry that person's going to marry them. We have much more free will than we think. How do our chakras really work around this subtle energy and information anyway? It brings in data based on our programs. And most of our programs are, frankly, unhealthy. We gathered them in past lives. We get them from our ancestors. We have at least 14 generations of programming in what's called the epigenome, chemical soup around our genes. We pick most of our belief systems up when we're in the womb. Then we're born. Then we start gathering and making conclusions that are typically inaccurate. We also have programs that are right and accurate and come from our more essential self and come from a place of love and or our own divinity. And so when we're perceiving any types of visions, especially the future, as I'll lead you through in our guided meditation, we want to come from the place of our best self, highest self, spiritual self, and perceive most accurately and make decisions based on who we really are, this sense of divinity we are clothed within and woven into our humanity. Now, given that, when we come from that place, sure, sometimes we can get senses of the future and make really healthy decisions. Every so often, clients ask me, am I going to meet anybody? Lots of times I don't get data, or I just get possibilities, and I don't get judgments. I don't get discernments. You're going to meet this person. And later they may come, you know, and go, well, I didn't really like that person. It's like, they were on your path. There you were. Take the teaching, take the wisdom, make decisions, because you're a big person and you need to make adult decisions with and for yourself. And sometimes they're more destiny points. Years and years ago, I worked with a woman. She hadn't ever been married. She was probably somewhere in her mid 40s to 50. And she was like, I'd really like to meet somebody. And I got an image through my third eye of a man in a bathrobe and slippers with a mail sack, like a postal mail carrier sack. And it was snowing out. I said, well, here you go. That's how you're going to know who the right guy is. Well, she's like, well, that's not helpful. I go, well, that's what I'm getting. That's what your spirit, higher guidance, is willing to give me to help you know your future or make the right decision when you get there. She called me 6 months later. She lived in a condo. She always got her mail, you know, in the morning, because she typically got home at night, didn't want to go get it, got it in the morning. And this had been going on for years. One morning, she forgot to get it. So that night, it was snowing. I'm in Minnesota. She went to her mailbox. It's sort of a joint one in the middle of a complex. And she was getting her mail. And this man who lived in a building next to hers and had for years came out wearing his slippers and a bathrobe to get his mail. And she talked to him, and they ended up getting married about a year after that 6 month mark. So you can have fun with your clairvoyance, especially through that third eye, if you're open to coming from your highest place, which I'm going to show you how to do, and release control issues, need to know it all, be it all. You know, you got to show up and live your life. And that's really the main messaging of interacting in and through the world with your third eye, this place through which you get images, daydreams, night dreams, etc. Now, there's a second way that through that mechanism of the third eye, the brow, and the physical eye, you know, systems or structures, we also get clairvoyant images. So this is the second really exciting way that we get signs, messages, and, you know, evoke responses in the world. And that's honestly with our physical eyes. Who's to say you're not psychic if you see a billboard and it's giving you a message? My youngest son, for instance, he's a baseball player. Almost every time he's on the phone with me and he's asking me, Mom, you know, what do you think about this or that? He sees a license plate and it has a message for him. Sometimes he asks me to get messages because I can't get them inside. I'm his mom. I might be too involved in what's happening and I don't know how to separate out, you know, what he's feeling, what I'm feeling, what I want for him versus what's really real to help him make decisions. So a couple of years ago, he said, Mom, I really, really need a sign. Should I stay at my school? In which he was a baseball pitcher. And I was like, you know, I don't think you should stay. He goes, I know, but I don't want to know what my mom thinks. I want to know what the guides think. So I said, I'll ask for a sign. So I did. I am near one of his games. It's like a tornado-y, really horrible day, which half of the time it is when you're a baseball parent. And I had to get gas. So after the game, I could drive home 3.5 hours. I'm leaving the gas station. And guess what I see in front of me? A truck. My son's name is Gabe, Gabriel. It had a huge sign that said Gabriel. The license plate basically was able to be interpreted as leave, follow your heart. I mean, in reduced language. I'm like, well, there's a sign. Years and years ago, we've always had, myself and my sons have had male golden retrievers named Honey. And they're named Honey and they're male golden retrievals because my youngest son's dad, when he was growing up, had that. And even though we divorced, we get along great. And when I was going to get my youngest son and my oldest son too, but he wasn't going to be that much a part of it. He had other things to do. A dog, my son Gabe's dad said, hey, will you get a male golden retriever named Honey? Name it Honey. And I said, yeah. So we did. That was technically Honey the second, because Honey the first had been with my son's father. That was a wild dog, just like the stories of the first one. Ate all the time, barked all the time, loved to run away. The first Honey, who had since died and reincarnated, frankly, in Honey the second, used to, in this area of Little Italy in St. Paul, every morning get up, early at dawn and go to the local restaurants and be fed meatballs, pasta, and then come home to have breakfast. Well, one time my Honey, I was like, where is he? Where is he? Why isn't he not in the house? He loved to leave and roam. I heard a knock on the door and this big burly guy showed up obviously he was the partner of this gigantic, enormous truck where, you know, with a cab in the front of it. And he said, do you have a golden retriever? I go, yeah, why? And he goes, well, the neighbors thought this was your dog. And I went out and he opened up the cab and there sits my dog grinning with somebody else driving, another big burly guy driving. And the two guys laughed and they said, yeah, he crawled into the cab because we had the door open and ate our lunches. Well, that's Honey. So after Honey the two died, I took a 3-year hiatus from Honeys. I got other dogs. I already had a dog, Lucky. And I was like, you know, these Honey dogs are exhausting. But one morning I heard a voice, and this is going to get us into our third type of clairvoyance, that said, I'm coming back. Now that's clairaudience. When you hear things, especially when nobody's around. And I'm like, no, I can't do another Honey dog. Well, Gabe came in the room and he goes, Mom, I was doing Google search today and I found this golden retriever named Tank in Pennsylvania. I think we're supposed to get. I'm like, oh no, Tank can't possibly be Honey. I mean, that's not the name. Well, over the next few days, both Gabriel and myself saw license plates that said Tank and Honey in different versions. Huge billboards everywhere with G.I. Joe tanks, toilet tanks. We had Honey delivered from Amazon. I never ordered, like a case of it. Clairvoyance. Finally, I'm in to see my therapist. And I said, you know, I need one more sign. I just can't do another Honey, you know, the same Honey until I get another sign. I leave her office. I'm in a non-dog office building. This dog comes up to me with a leash. And I'm like, okay, clairvoyance, I get it. I will get Honey. And I still have that wonderful, beautiful Honey the dog who loves to talk, loves to eat, talks all the time. Actually had surgery for 2.5 hours. And guess what the surgeon said? Like, he just talked the whole time, even under anesthesia. So the physical world is that second way of getting clairvoyant signs. What's your third way? Well, we've talked about it. It is clairaudience. I love to work with clairaudience when I am using my clairvoyance, whether I'm getting inner sights, outer sights. Clairaudience can be so beneficial to get definitions and interpretations of what's happening in your visual senses. So for instance, one of the ways that I work with clients, I get lots and lots of visions with clients and they're all over the board. You know, maybe I get images of popcorn, which I have before, and it was really important for the client, but I didn't know what it meant. Or I get images of my client at age two. Okay, that's important, but what do I say? What does it mean? Or I get an image of a color, or my eye catches the, you know, title of a book or a painting in my environment. So I love when I'm getting inner visions to ask guidance to put words on it. You know, like, will you write a caption in that picture or underneath that picture so I know what it means? So for instance, when I did get an image of a two-year-old that I assumed was my client who was asking me questions, I said, what do I tell her about this? Typed words underneath the image that said, when dad left. And I said, did your dad leave your family when you were two? She cried, and that's what we dealt with. You can also ask to hear in your body, right? Kind of through your apparatus inside, like how you talk to yourself, from yourself or guides, or from the environment, how to best interpret a picture, whether you're seeing it with your eyes, or you had a dream, or you're daydreaming, or you're in a vision. And then again, pay attention to the environment. What's on the radio? You know, what words pop in your mind? What poem do you remember all of a sudden reading when you were in grade school? They're all going to have a message for you because you are a subtle being. Most of how you relate to yourself, to the invisible assistance, you know, to other beings and people, to the world, to the universe, to the cosmos, is with subtle communication. So trust what it is you're getting and how you're getting it. Now, remember I talked about three sisters, Claire? We're to the third one, Claire empathy, the most complicated of them. When you get body senses or feelings or gut senses or spiritual knowings, or you just feel something or you have a sense, but you can't interpret it for yourself, or you feel like there's a being present, but you can't see it or understand it. And it feels good. And you know that it's trying to teach you. It's an angel or a being or a deceased relative, and it's trying to reach through the veil to assist you. You can actually transform empathic senses into images so you can work with them. Remember, now you got a physical body, but you have chakra bodies. That energy moves around. When you get a message, say in the chakra that's about physicality, suddenly you feel a knee pain, you know, or you're tight of breath, or you just get a sense of driving to the left instead of the right. Those are physical empathic sensations, and you don't know what they mean. Turn them into pictures. I'm going to show you how to do that. I'm going to show you how to activate and start interacting even more with your sixth chakra internal and external clairvoyance. I'm going to help you assign some clairaudience to that. And I'm going to help you move a message, a clairempathic message through your body so you can do something with it. And then I'm going to set you loose with a link to get my book, Intuition Guidebook. It's going to give you a lot of practices, processes, and techniques, including how to establish boundaries, psychological and energetic. So you don't need to be influenced by sources that are not good for you. It can be you, your own essence, and higher essence, along with whatever you call your spirit allies, assisting and guiding you. So let's take a few minutes and go through our exercise in which you're going to activate and better direct your clairvoyance in ways that are going to assist you in these four formats. Breathe deep and just be. I want you to just relax. And every time you breathe in, know that you're bringing in what needs to be available to your body, your mind, and your soul. And that every time you exhale, you're giving permission to release energies you're ready to let go of that may not have ever been yours and you are finished with. And there's a special place within the center of your chest, the center of your heart chakra, the very middle, that I call the God spot. Allow yourself to just breathe your way into that very middle of your chest as room is made for your consciousness. I call this place the God spot because in here is your own essence, your divine self, your link to and the indwelling of whatever you call higher spirit. And I want you to consider that within here is maybe even a cell, C-E-L-L, of the universes, of gods, of the divine, just for you. So that in and through and because of this spot, you're always able to receive messages, to interpret them, and to send messages that are from the highest intentionality and are the best for you and for others. So from this place, this kind of place of heaven within you, I want you to just acknowledge and invoke your own divine self is going to be in charge of this process, your own spirit. Secondarily, state internally that you're only going to be interacting with the spirits of those who hold themselves in the highest regard, dead or alive, animate and inanimate, visible, invisible, and are connected to divinity. And that you're actually just going to turn this whole process over to that higher spirit, whatever it is you call the divine, and then relax. And from this place, this is going to be kind of your rooting, and you're going to feel the entirety of your body filled with your spirit and that greater spirit all the way down beyond your toes, up through your head, across your shoulders, down your hands, in the entirety of the field of you around you, this beautiful sort of field or oval space that you occupy. Bring your focus to your brow, to the very middle of your brow or sixth chakra. And request the guidance. That's going to be the word we're going to be using for your own spirit or essence, the helping spirits, and whatever you call God, is going to safely and gently more fully activate your third eye, that color center, the chakra that uses your visual mechanisms in order to provide you clairvoyant, colorful images. And take a moment for this adjustment to occur. It's physical as well as subtle. So breathe into it. If you start to feel uncomfortable, request that guidance provide to you and through you streams of grace or love in motion, the highest form of energy to help you adjust, open, integrate, ground, and be. Breathe again. And then just ask a question. Any type of question about something big, little, intelligent, not so smart. It doesn't matter what it is. Ask a question. And give a moment, a few moments, for your spirit, helping spirits and greater spirit to compose, to create an image within your third eye to help provide an insight or an answer or a direction. Within here, it will have a color, shape, form. And if it's not quite understandable, ask for another image or set of images. And loosen up. Let the images come to you, through you, and for you. Get a sense of what's being portrayed to you as literal or metaphorical. Past, present, potential future. You can ask what you're to do because of this image or set of visions. Is there an action to take or not? A knowing, something to stop or start. A healing that's needed. And if there is, now or later, you can ask to see an image or images that can provide you healing energies for what needs to occur for you. Is there an undue influence in your life you're to respond differently to? Is there a desire or a goal or a gifting being provided to you? Then request that your guidance just help you fixate on a certain image or even the memory of one. Again, is that past, present, future? Open it up a little more. And for further clarification, request that in relationship with that image, your clairaudient capabilities kick in and write or type an interpretive caption or message. What do you read? In addition, is there a tone or a song or a part of a book or whispers or words being given to you clairaudiently about that imaging? Take a moment, really go into that. And then go into our third directive, which is your empathic ways of knowing. Settle into your body, even be aware of outside of your body. In regard to this messaging, this imaging, the messages you've been getting clairvoyantly or audiently, is there something happening, Claire, empathically through or for you? Is there a physical stirring or memory? An emotional one? A a knowing, a relationship that pops in. An awareness, a consciousness, a beingness that is you or something or someone else. Is there a sensitivity you have to the space you're in or the room you're in a way you're drawn to an object or an idea? Whatever you tune into empathically, give permission for guidance to bring it upward, downward, or from around you into your third eye. To add unto the image you had or to give you a new one. And again, you can ask for an addition from clairaudience or verbalization. What do you need to know? Whatever you're getting now, you can give permission for more to be provided over the next 24 hours to include what we're going to finally program and invite for you, your fourth interaction with clairvoyance to get a sign from the world, from the universe, from another person. Breathe back into your God spot and just state inside, in accordance with your own spirit, guiding spirits and the greater spirit, that over the next 24 hours, you would like a visual sign or sets of them from the external world to give you further messaging. The world will show you what else you need to know. Can you feel some adjustments happening inside of your system? And that sex of that excitement of knowing the world is with you, not against you. Whether you see an animal or a bird, or you read something in a book, or the television reveals something, or you get more dreams, daydreams, whatever it is, you will be getting another visual sign over the next 24 hours. Now, remain in your God spot and just simply breathe your way back into full consciousness and conscientiousness. Here you are, filled with energy, more of, you know, who you are and how you get to make decisions available to you. You've learned more about your clairvoyance, your clear seeing, your clairaudience, your ability to merge those faculties, and your empathic senses, and how those two can weave into imagery. I'm Cindy Dale, and I invite you to enjoy my gift, the Intuition Guidebook, to learn even more. It's a fantastic book I wrote years ago that's still pertinent, that you can get through the link that's going to be provided to download as a PDF. What are the different chakras and what are the different gifts associated with each chakra? What's the difference between being psychic, empathic, and using these different gifts as a spiritual being? There's a quiz in it you can take to see what are your highest senses right now and to figure out if you're a little under empathic or over empathic with some of these ways of being and capabilities. And then there's lots and lots of wonderful, beautiful exercises you can use to tame the wild clairvoyance, clairempathy, or clairaudience, and to direct it for your own well-being so you can be on your spiritual purpose. The Intuition Guidebook. This is Cindy Dale. My website, cindydale.com, spelled weird, C-Y-N-D-I-D-A-L-E. Keep being visual. Thank you.